grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ.
Amen. Amen.
I love when you read, Karen. You nail Belshazzar. That's not easy. And we celebrate your beloved husband who's with all the saints today. So thank you. Sarah lived in Evanston, Illinois, and she was only 10 years old when her grandfather died. He got sick suddenly. They had to rush him to the hospital, and a few days later, he died, and she never had a chance to say goodbye to him. And a few months later, in October, Sarah was at her girlfriend's birthday party, and at the birthday party, she got a big helium balloon. And she went home, went into her bedroom, and came out carrying the balloon with an envelope attached with a little letter in it and a return address. And she let that balloon go. And then that envelope was a letter to her grandfather. It said, "Grandpa Bernie in heaven up high. Hi, Grandpa. How are you? What's it like up there? I love you. I hope you read this letter in heaven. Love, Sarah." A few months later, in mid-December, a letter came addressed to Sarah Myers and family. The letter had a York, Pennsylvania postmark, and it was mailed by a man named Donald Kapp. The letter began, "Dear Sarah, family and friends, your letter to Grandpa Bernie Myers apparently reached its destination and was read by him. I understand they can't keep material things up there, so it drifted back to Earth. They just keep thoughts and memories and love and things like that up there." Donald Kapp found the balloon with the letter attached to it while he was hunting on the Pennsylvania-Maryland border. The balloon traveled almost 600 miles over four states, and it landed in a Pennsylvania forest. Sarah kept that note in her music box, and she read it almost every day. It meant so much to her. Donald Kapp is a 63-year-old mailman, retired, and he's a grandfather himself. You know what? Donald is a saint of God. Today we remember saints who have gone before us. In our prayers this morning, we will remember those who have gone before us last year, and but there'll be also an invitation for you to name any saint that you want to remember in prayer today, that has touched your life, that you love, who have entered the church triumphant. We give thanks for the good ways they touched our lives, how they inspired us, how they showed us that faith is more caught than taught by their example. They helped make us who we are today. What are saints? Well, one of my favorite writers, Frederick Buechner, wrote in his book, The Clown in the Belfry. He said, "I mean saints are men and women who are made not out of plaster or platitudes and moral perfection, but out of human flesh and blood. I mean saints who have their rough edges and their blind spots like everybody else. But those whose lives are transparent to something so extraordinary that every so often it stops us dead in our tracks." Someone whose lives are transparent to something so extraordinary that every so often it stops us in our tracks. Did you ever meet somebody like that? Did you ever meet somebody like that, that just was something about that person that inspired you? Something about that person that you felt good? Something about that person that you saw God? Ever have a person like that in your life? Well, I had a few. Bishop McCoy, I saw Jesus in him every time I saw that man. Father Adrian von Kamm, who taught me about spirituality. Annie saw somebody like that, a giant eagle, the other day. Ask her about her experience of meeting an unexpected saint in a yarmulke. And you know, I'm looking at some of those kind of people right now in so many ways. Today we heard Jesus was teaching one day in the midst of a great crowd of many ordinary people, people ordinary like you and me. And that crowd that day were people who were sick and people who were poor, people who were anxious, people who wanted some relief from their problems, people looking for something but didn't know quite what it was, people who wanted some meaning in their lives. And looking over the crowd, Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Now, how do you take that? You don't hear that every day. Blessed are the poor. No, the ones who are overlooked, the ones who are forgotten, the ones who are avoided, the ones who are marginalized. Jesus looked at these and he says in so many words, you are not forgotten. In fact, you are blessed by God. How happy are you? And then he turned to somebody who was hungry and those who were weeping with tears of sadness. And he called them blessed. And those who weep will be filled with laughter, he said. His words gave hope, and people were being ground down by life. People who were troubled, as one trouble after another, had dashed hopes, had given up hope, had crushed self-esteem, nothing to look forward to. They are blessed by Jesus. God has not forgotten them. How happy that is. And then to his close disciples who had been following him, some scholars would say a year, some would say 3 years, Jesus spoke special words. Blessed are you who follow me, especially when people hate you and gossip about you and put you down and exclude you. Jesus knew that his good news of God would upset other people who had a different gospel, people who didn't believe in Jesus, people with other agendas than Jesus' agenda. He knew the going was going to be tough for his followers. To his disciples, who would have been given the courage to speak the truth, to speak the truth to power, to the wicked. To his disciples then and his disciples today, Jesus speaks words of hope and blessedness and courage and energy and life. And when the going gets tough for disciples, and as you who follow Jesus closely know, it will, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. You know you're in the right path when the world goes against you. And what about the rich? What about those who are well-fed, those who laugh now, those with great reputations? Everybody says, oh, you're so wonderful. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. I like to tell people tell me I'm wonderful. That's great. The problem is always those who God blesses often forget. They forget where the blessings come from. They forget that they are blessed then to what? Be a blessing to others. Those who are rich are expected to take 10% from the top as a tithe. And then after that becomes the offering for those in the community and to give to others. That becomes the offering to the poor, those in need. And like we are doing to North Hills Youth Outreach Ministry and to somebody, people that might not have enough to eat for Christmas, we're giving them something to eat. Give to those who are in need, the poor, the refugee, the immigrant. What you do for them, Jesus says, you do for me. What you don't do for them, you don't do for me. John Wesley, the great spiritual leader who helped found the Methodist Church, he said, Make all the money you can. Be as successful as you can so you can give away all you can and help others as much as you can. And when this happens, when you know you're blessed, you can laugh and praise God and then give your blessings to others and make them laugh and praise God too. You're blessed. And when you think, I did it my way, I pulled myself up on my own bootstraps. Why should I help those poor, lazy, no good for nothings? I work so hard and they don't work at all. Why should I help them? That's where the woes come in. That's where the judgment comes in. Not from God, but they judge themselves. And they'll have to answer for it on the day of judgment. So we need the example of the saints who have gone before us. The saints who we walk past in our cemetery. The saints who we remember today. Our mothers and fathers and grandfathers and grandmothers and aunts and uncles. We remember the pastors and the teachers, and we remember our friends and the unexpected ones who came to our aid when we needed it the most, and they were there, true friends, to help us persevere, to fight the good fight, to finish the race, to keep the faith, and then to receive our crowns of glory. There was a great English leader, the Duke of Wellington, who fought many battles and won many battles. He was a hero. There's a statue of him in London. And when asked, how do your soldiers win so many battles? He replied, my soldiers are not any braver than other soldiers. My soldiers are not any more brilliant than other soldiers, but they hold on 5 minutes longer. They hold on 5 minutes longer. A saint hangs in there with the promises of Christ. And so a saint can hang in there in God's grace, especially when the going gets tough, to share the gospel, to pray for those who are ill, to pray and to love the enemy, to work for justice, to give time and ability and money for those in need, to celebrate the gifts of others, to grab onto the word of God and trust it in their hearts, and to open up and let Christ work through us, to be transparent to the transcendent working through us. And who knows? Someday, maybe now, you too will stop somebody dead in their tracks and they will praise God because of you. And they will see God in you. As I invite you to do, to look at the person next to you and see God working through them, because you see, you are the saints. You wouldn't be here today if you weren't the saints. An ordinary person with the extraordinary love and faith in God. No one may ever know your name, but Christ does. Christ does. Just as he knows who's hungry, who's grieving, who's persecuted for righteousness' sake, he knows, he remembers, and he loves. And he will call you blessed. When you leave this life and enter the kingdom, you will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You are blessed by God. Oh, how happy. Oh, how joyful you will be. Well, praise God today because, my friends, you are blessed. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds, not in yourself, but in Christ our Lord. Center always in Christ. Amen.